I'm with Steve Dale at Dorchester Hotel, where we've just been to a terrific business collaboration seminar. And Steve, you did a presentation. A couple of lines jumped out of the excellent content there. One was that in handling all of this different content from different social networks, data from all over the place, people want one-stop shop, but it's never going to be like that. But what is happening is the use of apps, the sort of thing that's on your phones, that are now being developed in specialist ways by companies on the sort of platforms you've worked on. And you talked about the Enterprise App Store. And in the past, we've kicked around ideas about a social app store. Wouldn't it be great if people involved in community action, local government, instead of all these manuals they never read, knowledge hubs they don't necessarily go to, could go, oh, is there an app for that? Is there some way I can get hold of that good stuff? Is that the sort of thing which is coming? What are the lessons that are coming through? One other thing I really liked was you said, don't design for PCs and think how it can go onto mobile phones. Design for mobile phones and think how it could work on a PC. So there's a couple of interesting stories in there.
Right, yes. I think the first thing, possibly the most radical thing, and I didn't mention it in there, is that are we actually looking already at the death of the website? I mean, there's not many websites that I visit these days. I will be gathering my information because I've got a feed into my aggregator, whether that's Twitter or TweetDeck or whatever, or I'm using apps. And I think that as we are going forward now, there's going to be more and more people who are mobile, on the move, and breaking the shackles of their office PC. And if we're talking about people in the public sector, as I mentioned in there, I called it a lobotomized PC because it's already been constrained to what they can do. And they're forced to use other applications, other devices outside of their work environment in order to get their work done. So I think the definite trend is more towards mobile working. And I picked a statistic up the other week where it's clearly showing that the sale of mobile devices, I mean, you know, smartphones, tablets and so on, has outstripped the sale of PCs. So the trend's already there. People are now finding that they can do as much, if not more, on mobile devices than what they can in their desktop environment. Now, they're also now getting more and more familiar and trusting of the apps that they can download from, whether it's an Apple iPhone store or an Android store or a Chrome app store or whatever. These things are becoming ubiquitous. I actually thought that the way that organisations are going to, if they really want to grasp this way of agility and building in flexibility in the way that people work, is to provide this concept of an enterprise app store for people to download the apps which have perhaps been developed by that organisation specifically to meet a particular business need, and to accept these are cheap, more often than not, throwaway apps. An app doesn't have a lifetime of like Microsoft 2003, which is there for 3 or 4 years, huge infrastructure cost to actually get it rolled out to people. These apps are flexible. They're used until the point at which they don't become useful anymore. They're downloaded. People are happy to download them and use them on their app, on their phone or whatever. And when they don't become useful anymore, throw them away and go to the next app that does the job for them. So enterprise apps, I think, is a secure way of delivering feature-rich applications to mobile devices and enable a far more agile business process to develop.
And I think, you know, I've heard at these sorts of events and excellent ones that you've done, the issues that come up in the private sector, in the public sector, and in the non-profit sector around collaboration and knowledge sharing are far more about the people, the culture, the organisations than they are about the technology. That can be a trouble, a barrier, and so on and so forth. But do we have enough sharing of experience between those different sectors? Is there a chance to get some of these people together?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, I've wished for this for years, and I think this illustrates, again, how important this role of a community manager. The people know how to sort of build communities and actually get collaboration going. Those are the most important people, and you quite rightly said that let's get away from this concept of technology is the answer. Technology will help us to collaborate and to share and to connect, but technology is nothing without the people and how people can use this, and encouraging people to share. The one thing that I've found more often than not is people seem to be afraid about what they can let go, what they can share. And more often than not, the more that you share, it's almost like trading. The more you're willing to give away in terms of your knowledge and expertise and so on, the more that other people are willing to share with you. And I think that there's a role there for, I call them community managers, an important role there to facilitate that process, to help people to grow into this way of willingness to share, willingness to collaborate, willingness to discover new contacts that can help them. And I think that the technology, if it's there to help us, great. But the getting these people together as a cohort of experts that can help people connect and share, I'm all for that. How we do it, I think, is possibly a bit more difficult because they're a bit scattered. And I still think a lot of organisations do not yet fully understand the important role of a community manager or community facilitator.
There are associations for community managers, EMINT, for example, and those community managers tend, I think, to be working in a particular environment on a particular platform with a defined set of users. At the same time, we've got people, whether you call them community reporters, social reporters or whatever, who are out in the wild, if you like, trying to connect across networks. You've got what Beth Cantor has called free agents, the people. So these breeds of people who sometimes work in controlled situations, sometimes on the loose. You think they've got enough affinity to network amongst themselves?
I'd say yes, from the fact that anybody who's actually joined one of these organisations, you've already overcome that. The very fact that they've joined this and they're willing to collaborate, I think you've overcome the first bit of resistance. It's maybe convincing all of the other people out there who've potentially got the skills to do this, to do the social reporting, to do the connecting and so on, that are so far not seeing the benefits of actually doing it, getting engaged. But I think that very first step, once people have actually registered to belong to a community of social reporters or facilitators, that's the very first, the very fact that they've shown the incentive, they want to actually engage in that. What I would say is a sort of word of caution, and I think I've actually blogged about this, is that you've got a lot of enthusiasts out there, but I still think there is a degree of skill. Now, if that skill can be done through social collaboration amongst these people, sharing about what is good practice and encouraging people who are new to that to learn and to grow in that role, I think that's the way forward.
Just saying goodbye to somebody there, just finally. Actually, Richard Woolwood, Millwood was talking earlier about a degree he's trying to develop in which people would get accreditation for learning on the job, basically. And so if there's accreditation in learning to be a community manager, social reporter and so forth, that's useful. But is there a job in it? Are people getting paid good money to do this sort of thing?
Sadly, no. And I think that comes back to the point I made earlier. I still don't think enough people appreciate the value of that particular role. If you think of the marketing side, I think, you know, you've got people out there doing community manager type roles as part of a promotional marketing for Nike, for Coke and so on. I don't actually see that particular role transferred into the pure knowledge sharing role that social media, in my mind, was originally meant for. Within the public sector, within the communities, and actually making sure that that role is fully appreciated and valued. And it's only when it's going to be valued you're going to get people paid for it.